Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Munns, what are we listening to?
Jeffrey, this is Kurt Vile, and the tune is called KV Crimes.
Do we have any, just this is the mood? Is this what we're feeling?
Yeah.
Just hit shuffle?
I like the little opening riff there, and yeah, it's got sort of a summery, you know, with the windows rolled down, sort of
summer feel, maybe
sort of vibe. Yeah.
Over at commercialappeal.com, you got two stories, but I guess you've not been with us since Friday, and so on Friday, I believe that was when the news broke because I was following along on my phone trying to in Chicago. But Friday we got the news that David Jones will enter the draft. And I use news in air quotes, but it's official. I guess let's break down from your perspective what actually occurred on Friday.
It just was the formality that what we've all sort of known was going to happen, actually happening. David started getting questions about this from the media as soon as the season ended. Like, as soon as they got up to the podium, after losing to Wichita State, the question was asked, it was even before that.
Yeah, I was saying, I actually feel like, didn't it happen before?
Yeah, well, Penny was asked about it before. I don't know that David was ever asked about it in a formal setting, but Penny was asked about do you think you can get him back, that sort of thing. Nobody actually, like, spelled it out and said, here's, at least on David's side, I'm going to test the water. Nobody came out and spelled it all out, but, again, this is the way this sort of thing is done with players who could turn pro, might have options to go pro, might get drafted, that sort of thing, and also have eligibility left. This is the way it's done. And frankly, it's almost foolish if you are in David's shoes and you don't, or someone like David, and you don't do this. So yeah, that's what this did. This essentially put on the table what everyone has been waiting for to be put on the table for a while.
Do you get the sense of what the factors are going to go into this decision? Like, is this going to be, in your mind, something as simple as, if the Tigers NIL offers better than what he can get as a professional, that he's going to go with that? Do you get the sense that it's going to work that way? Or, I think another example is, like, I don't really believe Lester Quinones actually ended up making, like, a true business decision in terms of, like, what was the highest bid. Like, I do feel like once he found out he was going to have an NBA opportunity, that's what he cared about.
That is what I think it's going to end up coming down to. I don't know that for sure. And obviously, somebody who's closer, like Penny may disagree, David may disagree. But from where I sit, I don't think it is simply going to be a matter of where David Jones can make the most money. I think that, let's just pretend for a minute that David goes and works out for some teams, and whether they say we're going to draft you or whether they say we like you, we're going to sign you to a two-way contract, whatever it may be, if in some fantasy land the number that he would make from that is less than what he would make coming back to Memphis, or whatever Memphis might be willing to pay him via NIL opportunities. When I say Memphis, I mean whatever the collective, FedEx. I don't mean the University of Memphis, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I think if whatever NIL opportunities he is presented with works out to be more money, again, in this pretend world, than what he would make by going pro or you know, getting a two-way contract or getting drafted, I'm not certain that he's just going to take I'm not certain he would come back under those circumstances. I think it's a little bit of both. I think his decision is going to come down to a little bit of both. If he feels like it's the right opportunity and somebody says, yes, we will offer you a two-way contract, and he feels good about that assurance, then even if he's told he could make more by coming back to Memphis, I think there's a chance he goes the professional route anyway, just because, you know, it may work out better for him in the long run. And I think that's probably what happened with Lester Quinones, and I could see that happening with David Jones. But at the same time, you know, we don't know what type of feedback he's going to get. You know, maybe he goes into these workouts and they tell him, you know, you really need more work. You need more seasoning. We weren't convinced that what we saw this one season at Memphis makes it enough. We want to see you do it again. You know, you were a 28 career three-point shooter before you came to Memphis. Yeah, you shot 38% at Memphis, but that was just 1 year. We need to see you do it again. Again, this is just speculation, but maybe that plays out. Maybe he's back. We'll see.
Obviously, the whole point of doing this process is to get the information, but entering this process, do you get the sense of, you know, how likely do you think it is that even if you get a team that says, you know, hey, man, maybe we're not going to take a second rounder on you, but we like you enough to give you a two-way deal, like what we saw with Lester. Do we get a sense if that's where he is, or is it unclear to you?
I think if that's the way it plays out, then I think he's got a decision to make. Then I think it becomes more about, like, at that point, I think he would probably have some other things to weigh. What if I go back to Memphis, what are they offering me? Number one, an NIL opportunities. And then number two, is it possible? And I'm sure he would have this discussion with these professional evaluators and scouts and things like this. If I go back to Memphis, you know, do you think if I show that I can duplicate or even be better than I was this past season, could you see me getting into the first round, or could you see me getting into the high second round? And, you know, I just think that there's a lot of different variables at play with the David Jones situation. I don't think it's a slam dunk either way that he is back or that he is going to go. It's just one of those things. May 29th is the deadline to withdraw, you know, from the draft. And so I've said this from the very beginning. I think it's going to go pretty close to that. So I don't think we're really exactly close to a decision.
Well, I guess the other consideration, does his age work against him in the NBA in the sense that, he's already 24, correct?
No, I think I'm not even sure he's 23 yet. Maybe he is 20. I mean, he's no older than 23.
Okay. But oftentimes, like, what you see is, like, I think, for instance, Reed Sheppard made a decision of, hey, this isn't a great draft. I'm probably, my stock's going to be about as high as it can be. I want to go play in the NBA. I'm going to do that now. Do you get the sense that he is in a better or worse spot than Lester was when he began his process?
From an age standpoint?
Or just really from their perspective of the type of prospect he is?
Probably, I would say the same. Like, I don't see it as better or worse than where Lester was. I mean, Lester left after his third year at the Division I level. The way it's worked for David is he has been at the Division I level for 3.5 years, I believe. I think he enrolled early at DePaul, and was around the team for half a season, and then one full season after that. So, I don't get that impression that, that David is any better off or worse off than Lester was when he was going through this decision. I mean, you know, it's really, does it really make that much of a difference? 22, 23. I'm not sure that it does.
We're talking with Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Follow him on Twitter at Munsley. Over at commercialappeal.com, you do have a story about the mechanics of indeed how David Jones would get paid from the NIL perspective. Because he's an international player, it's different rules. What did you learn when you're going about researching and you're conducting, you know, you're gathering the information? What did you learn about this process for David specifically?
Well, so basically, David is from the Dominican Republic. Any international player, any international student athlete, they cannot come to the United States unless they are on what's called an F1 student visa. And there is language in those documents that says if you provide a service, if you actively work for money while you are in the United States, you are at risk of deportation. You are at risk of violating the terms of your F1 student visa. And so, there's been this myth. There's been this myth that has gotten louder and louder since the season ended, especially around here. I can't tell you how many people since the season ended were coming to me and asking me to sort of clear it up and sort of get everybody on the same page so there's not so much misinformation out there, because there was a lot. And so basically I talked to an NIL attorney, a college athletics attorney who specializes in NIL. And there are, you know, it's not like, because again, there was this myth out there that David Jones couldn't get paid because he was an international student, or right, any international student can't get paid. And that is not true. There are two ways that David Jones or any foreign-born player can make money via NIL. One is if they give it's called passive NIL, which means they're not actively doing any work. They can still receive money while they're in the United States, but as long as they don't actually actively go out and work for it. And with NIL, as long as they can give permission for someone to put their face on a t-shirt and agree to a percentage of the profits,
right,
of the sales of that t-shirt, that is perfectly legal. You are allowed to, as an international student, do that. The other way is, of course, when you're out of the country, you can do your social media posts, you can do your camps, you can do your autograph signings, you can do your commercials, and make all the NIL you want. So, it was getting to the point where I felt like getting everybody on the same page would be beneficial.
Did, in your mind, did Memphis specifically feel like the information out there was bad?
Oh, I don't. No, I mean, if they did, they didn't tell me. So that was not, it was more going on Facebook, pages every day, or message boards or whatever, and seeing people just swearing up and down that David Jones cannot make NIL money, as a college student. Therefore, of course he's going to leave. Of course he's not going to come back because he cannot get paid. And I just felt like, that needed to be addressed. I don't think that Memphis cared one way or the other whether that misinformation was out there.
Not trying to get you or Memphis in trouble, but if David's back in the Dominican, and let's say he's active on his social accounts, is that is that a legit? Because, like, obviously, I know, like, oftentimes the one of the keys was take the old international trip. And when you take the international trip to, you know, to some, you know, I think Cal did it with Towns, Dominican mm-hmm. Republic as well, or is it Puerto Rico? I think Cal might have coached the Puerto Rican team.
Yeah, something like that.
And so, like, that's one way around it, but is another complicating factor the fact that Memphis wouldn't have an international trip?
I mean, it doesn't. That makes it easier, certainly, to have sort of like this coinciding thing where not only are you off domestic soil, but you're with your team. You're with your brand and whatever else. Like that's sort of a coinciding thing. But that does not. You do not have to, be. Again, that is, I think, another sort of misconception is that's the two go hand in hand.
Right.
International players can only make NIL money when they're off United States soil. So that's why they go and they play these foreign trips. In some cases, maybe, but that is not what. It's not a requirement. Like, if David is in the Dominican Republic today, if he hosts a camp for kids in the Dominican Republic today on the Dominican Republic in the Dominican Republic, he can make NIL money today.
And then I guess really the other question is, where are we standing on recruiting? You know, it does feel like this is kind of the weekly update. But what is our weekly update right now?
It's about to get busy. I think this week is going to, I think it's going to pick up a little bit here at some point in the next little while. I think there's going to be some movement, some things that get shaken loose. I think we're going to get a much clearer picture of what certain parts of Penny Hardaway's team, are going to look like next season here pretty quickly.
Who are the names to watch in your mind?
So Baraka Okoji is a young point guard or guard from George Mason. And when I say young, it's because he reclassified out of high school. He's Canadian, so that falls under the whole NIL international student discussion we were just having. But he played at George Mason as a true freshman, started 9 games, played in 21, but he will turn 19, I believe, in September, and obviously have 3 seasons of eligibility left. He's a guy that I would keep an eye on. He visited this past weekend, visited Memphis. A couple of weeks ago, maybe even almost a month ago, I had some people tell me to keep an eye on Musa Cisse.
He is continuing his tradition. We are back in the portal.
Yes, he is back in the portal. Everybody, I'm sure, well, a lot of people around here should remember him. He's the 7-footer who won the AAC Freshman of the Year back in 2021. Spent 2 seasons at Oklahoma State last year with Ole Miss. He's back in the portal. Like I said, it's been a while ago that I heard that his name was being bandied about, should he enter the portal, and he has. And that is one I would also keep tabs on. Maybe another one or two that shall remain nameless at this point.
Have we had an update on TJ Bamba?
See, Memphis is on the list of finalists. He has 6 schools on his list of finalists. I tend to think that that's more of a bargaining chip,
yeah,
possibly for Mr. Bamba than anything else. Just talking to certain people and, sort of getting a feel that, and then of course surveying the picture of what Memphis has in place already, and might have in place, you know, with some other at some other spots. You know, it just sort of came out of nowhere a little bit,
yeah.
And I get the sense. I'm not saying it's completely, you know, don't disregard it completely, but something tells me that that's not quite what it seems on the surface.
Muns, we really appreciate it, buddy.